Hello again, confrères. Father Hansi here, sharing a few thoughts on the intellectual preparation of the Sigmatine as this was envisioned by St. Gaspar Bertone. And I'm presenting to you an English rendition of some of the paragraphs or articles from that great classic of 1914, written by the Sigmatine Father Joseph Fiorio, and it's one of the little manuals all of us had growing up as Sigmatines, and I'd like to share a few of those thoughts. But let's begin with a prayer. The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray for us, O holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all. So in this reflection, I'd like to explain or share with you number 75 and following of Father Fiorio's wonderful little booklet. And here we find that very, very strong statement of St. Gaspar when he said, pay special attention to be sure that studies are the principal support of the building, and you need to implore good direction and a plan for these studies and much light from His Divine Majesty. That is a letter St. Gaspar wrote to Mother Naudet. She was forming this institute, and these sisters have remained really sisters to us Sigmatines all these years. They work very well, as you know, with our men in the Philippines. But he was telling her that she had modeled her rules also on St. Ignatius, and that study was a very, very important element that's very closely connected to the spirituality. So this is what he wrote in this to Mother Naudet long years ago as a young priest. I will proceed in the intervals in my own occupations to place under your eyes the entire perfect model of the thrust of study as something that is for the greater glory of our Lord. He is the Lord of all knowledge, Dominus Scientiarum Domini, which Deus Scientiarum, I forget, but anyway, the Lord of all knowledge, which is in 1 Kings, as we'll see. And without the help of this knowledge, it is impossible to arrive at the sublimity of spiritual matters, as St. Gregory the Great says so clearly. And I dare to add in their circumstances that this is so delicate, it is the main work of your enterprise. It is necessary to remember that even though it may be built up, it cannot be retained without that bit of great learning among its various members, and that the first germ of corruption of this great work is ignorance, or that wish at the same time to know much badly is to have squandered good taste. However, regarding this, we will have occasion and necessity to speak later on to you in other circumstances. In the meantime, after charity and the virtues, you, Reverend Mother, should pay special attention to be sure that studies are the principal support of the building, and you need to implore good direction and a plan for these studies and much light from God in your own prayer. So this is a rather important study which one of the capitulars in 1970 brought to our attention at the General Chapter, I think it was Father Gian Pietro De Paoli, that knowledge is part of this structure. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't lose this altogether, the first germ of corruption. Well, admittedly, there's a worldwide lack of vocations. And maybe in the United States, we used to have a listing of those vocations that were inspirational. And for a long time, the Catholic priest was in the top five, like pilots and astronauts and great heroes in the war, great scientists and surgeons. And in there somewhere would be the Catholic priest. The last time they made such a survey, the Catholic priest was listed 87 together with used car dealers. So whatever this is, it's public opinion in a capitalist country, United States of America, but there's a lot of good here too. And therefore we, maybe as stigmatines, remembering what St. Gaspar wrote and was of which he was deeply convinced, we can do better. And that's all that a conference is for. So is number 75, the importance of studies for the stigmatines. Then he suggests a bit about the manner. And here he shows his enormous balance. When we have an ideal, sometimes it's almost natural to throw caution to the winds and go after it head over heels. For a long time, I served as assistant spiritual director and confessor in a number of our national seminaries. And one of my slogans or one of my principles came from this right here. St. Gaspar did not want the students to damage their health or to interfere with their prayer by having too much study. But the other side of the coin, very surprisingly, there was a whole kernel of thought in St. Ignatius of Loyola that they are not contemplative monks who are bound by the praying in common of the liturgy of the hours. They are active ministries, apostolic ministries in the field where they are like contemplativos en acción, as St. Ignatius would say. St. Thomas says, contemplata tradere. St. Ignatius was, be contemplatives in your duty. Well, this then is the spirit of our holy founder, and one of which he thought that the need for studies is necessary for the proper conducting of our congregation. Our duty then is to cultivate study with that spirit with which he recommended to us if we wish to be truly his genuine sons, authentic members of the congregation which he founded. That's Father Fiorio. It was a very beautiful insight, and I do have some faint memories of him way back in 1952 to 1956 when he was living in the house with us young American scholastics sent to Rome to study at the Angelicum. So St. Gaspar, therefore, has presented a very sublime plan, a very challenging, possible program that can be achieved. The problem is we need to keep balance here. We have known men who became so interested in study they neglected piety, and others who became so pious that they would always give up study at the drop of a hat, waste so much time. One of the great risks today in this world of technology is abuse of time with the internet. Just fool around in the study period or God knows in chapel or wherever with the internet or the little cell phones or whatever we have, bringing all kinds and sometimes junk into our minds, if not downright impurity. So St. Ignatius of Loyola provides a great balance here, like in his Constitution number 360. He wrote, in order to make great progress in these branches of learning, the scholastic should learn first of all to keep their souls pure and their intention in studying right by seeking in their studies nothing other than the glory of God and to be able to help souls. They should frequently beg in prayer for the grace to make progress in learning for the sake of this purpose. While we're not Jesuits, that's not a good argument. We're not Jesuits. We're not their size, their depth. We do not have their history. But St. Gaspar was deeply imbued with these ideas. And in a kind of a reflective situation, as we have here with these lectures, it's good for us all to look inside. Again, in the original Jesuit Constitution, number 462, just as steady application is necessary in the work of studying, so also is relaxation. The proper amount and times of this will be left to the prudent consideration of the superior to determine according to the circumstances or persons and place. Some people can do more. They're able physically, they're stronger, and we need to be very attentive and charitable and loving to those who may not be. This also holds for eating. I was always happy to see in the Jesuit rule that we should never make fun of those who eat more, because maybe their body is a machine that needs more benzina, more energy to continue. All right, so St. Gaspar's original constitutions provide a definite program toward a spirituality of an ever more perfect intellectual progress through study. For example, in number 41, those who entered already endowed with necessary doctrine, after they complete their novitiate, will be perfected in doctrine. They will also be formed in applying this through their ministry toward their neighbor. As I mentioned, in St. Ignatius's time, many of the men were brilliant university scholars or students or whatever. Whereas with St. Gaspar, most was from very ordinary circumstances and on a much younger level. But still, there would be some who might have come even as late as priests. A number of the Father Bertone's first companions were already priests, like Father Morani or Father Vignola, Peter Vignola, Superior General. He was Father Bassi, I believe, was already a priest. Father Leonardi came as a student and was personally trained by St. Gaspar. So this means this number 41 is for those men who come with the studies completed, but they are called to complete themselves. And for this, St. Gaspar, based on the example of St. Ignatius, who uses the metaphor of the tower in his formula for a Jesuit, it's found in Luke 14. For any one of you who wants to build a tower, who would not sit down first of all and reckon the expense that is necessary wherewith he will have to finish this, lest after he has laid the foundations he cannot go any further? And all who see the foundation begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and couldn't finish. So this is one of the challenges that perseverance gives to us. The virtue of perseverance, it means not only stick-to-itiveness, not only means staying in the same vocation as long as we live, it's an active cooperation with God's graces and the intellectual genius that is in every one of us. Every one of us has a spiritual and a intellectual DNA. Some call that an IQ, but an IQ can be stretched by real learning. We may not be geniuses, but we can all do better than where we are right now in our studies. St. Ignatius has this in his number 4 of the formula. Therefore, before those who want to come to us take this burden upon their shoulders, they should ponder for long and seriously as the Lord counsels them to do in Luke 14:30. And as I say, for Ignatius, the constitutions of St. Ignatius were the after work of the spiritual exercise. In other words, the spiritual exercises were meant for anyone open to them, but the constitutions were a response to discernment. This is one way you can live your life, and if you do, this is what you have to do. So in the formula, St. Ignatius says they should ponder long and seriously to see whether they possess in their resources enough spiritual capital to complete their tower, whether the Holy Spirit who moves them really is offering them so much grace that with his aid they have the hopes of bearing the weight of this vocation. It's a difficult vocation, but as St. Thomas reminds us over and over and over again, hope is a future good, difficult but possible. So this verse, being confident in the very thing that he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. This is found in Father Bertone's Constitution 185, which is probably the most outstanding of all the 314 numbers. What happens when study, serious programmed study, is taken out of formation? It will not be acquired in the active ministry. If you don't go into the ministry with some sense of a real commitment to serious study. We had an expression in Italian that used to make us American stigmatines laugh. It was called tappa buchi. Tappa means to block a hole in the dike that is holding the water back, and you see a hole, you put your hand in it. Oh, there's another one. You put your hand up in that one. Then you put your elbow in another one. Those are tappa buchi. They didn't need to have much knowledge just to notice where the water was leaking and put their hands or their finger or some part of their body against it. It means a very generic, uninspired, automatic response to a certain situation. Whereas what Father Bertone was after was something far more excellent, far more. This could be, to be a tappa buchi could be a wonderful thing if there's a flood. But to serve God's people day in and day out, they would be much happier with a gifted speaker or a gifted theologian or a gifted spiritual director than they would be for somebody who does everything in a very generic, mediocre, and slipshod manner. St. Caspar is looking for excellence, proficiency, not absolute perfection, relative perfection, relative according to the gifts we have and the grace that he gives us. It's our Catholic belief he will never be outdone in generosity. So as we struggle on and as we try to develop ourselves and improve ourselves, the grace will not be lacking. So let's read again this number 185. To me, it's the cornerstone of the entire stigmatine vocation. The purpose of this congregation is to offer assistance to the church under the direction of bishops. We don't direct them, they direct us. So the various and proper duties of its vocation. Now, we're not called to be doctors. We're not called to have some kind of a special doctorate that would take us away from religious life. We are called to the sacred sciences, basically, so that we can help the salvation of souls. Not only their salvation, but their perfection. That they really and truly, through our direction, become saints. And this is where Father Bertone excelled. Of all of his commitments and all of the ministries that he performed, largely because basically he was an invalid, I am sure his best one was spiritual director and confessor. So the various and proper duties of its vocation. How many of us have known old stigmatines living in a house of us younger men, always available for confession? They were always ready. You could see them any time of the day. You got to know what day they were, what hour they were having them their siesta, and we knew night was not a good time. I've lived this way myself all the years I've served, some 30 of them, I guess, in diocesan seminaries in the United States. So through various and proper duties of its vocation, this seems at times to be an arduous and difficult undertaking if we just think of our own human weakness. One is exposed to all kinds of dangers. Yet, this is the proposal of our vocation, and therefore it is not one that is imprudent and rash. It's a special grace. The Jesuit theologian Jerome Nadal, has written extensively on this thought of God's grace, the arduousness of our call in this day and age. The difficulties we encounter are overcome by the graces we have. As you may remember, he was a great expert in the Council of Trent, and he was sent there by St. Ignatius and was a brilliant theologian of grace. So he saw there was a general grace to holiness, then there's a special grace for different walks of life. For stigmatine, or Jesuit, there is this special grace that helps us live this. So then he goes on to explain St. Caspar. So this is so that our response is not imprudent and rash. This is so, firstly, because it's not based on our human resources, but it is carried out by the grace of the Holy Spirit. For he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to perfection. That's Philippians 1:6. If he is not hindered in this by us. And that's St. Ignatius's and also St. Caspar's great fear that a gifted man come to us and never grow and never develop because God is impeded by our lack of correspondence. Only God knows, at St. Ignatius, what he would do with us if he were not blocked by our lack of response. But this is a special grace of our vocation that is more powerful than all dangers and difficulties that we would ever face. Furthermore, through this plan, we do not propose to expose ourselves to dangers, not to go to this place or that place, or to undertake one activity over another, but to follow the direction of the Orthodox bishop whom the Holy Spirit has placed to rule the church. That's Acts chapter 20. This means is if sufficiently safe of not erring in the way of the Lord. Finally, the concern of the congregation is to be both disciplining and forming its men, as well as selecting them, sustaining and strengthening them. That is a pretty strong mouthful, but in the kernel it seems to me to present so many aspects of St. Gastrus, rather complex, but really very simple charism. We can be and do better than we are and than what we have been doing. So the Jesuit background for this is a commitment to study, and in different ways these principles have emerged also in Saint Gastrus Bethoni. Very interestingly, and maybe I'll conclude with this thing, this thought, Saint Ignatius had a great love and a great zeal for teaching catechism. He was very good at it, speaking to young people informally and so on. And along with the fourth vow of the Jesuits of special obedience to the Pope, Ignatius wanted a fifth vow, teaching catechism to the young. Well, if you read today Pope St. John Paul II, his letter, as we've mentioned before, Catechesi Tradendi, you will see that he thought that in our present situation, this is one of the most important ministries the Church has neglected. It has not been fulfilled to the level to which it seems that God is still calling us. And listen to what Ignatius said. He wanted a fifth vow, and that a mini description of what the apostolic mission is, and perfection is always needed in that doctrine to be exercised in ministry toward the neighbors. In number 437 of the Jesuit Constitution, St. Ignatius says, even the Father General should give 40 hours a year to the teaching of catechism. That would be an hour a week for the school year. So it's, again, the relationship of study and the spiritual and apostolic life. Since Vatican II, in some ways, the American Church, I cannot speak as an authority, but lived as a priest 61 years there mostly. As an American priest, we have found that many young students, catechism children, if they come at all, come for their first communion, then don't come anymore, and because many churches and dioceses require catechism before they give confirmation, they are brought maybe somewhat for confirmation, and they never come again. For many, the next time they come is when they either get married or they're being buried. They want a Catholic funeral. So our job is to try to do what we can to be proficient in this wonderful means of conversation, to begin talking about sports or things that may be of interest to them. But why don't we learn that evangelical conversation, that spiritual dialogue with each other, and not be afraid of looking too far? If they don't want it, they'll make that clear. We may be surprised on how many do. Many of us, that's the way vocation came. Mine came by talking to one stigmatine on a baseball field. And from that, it developed, and I finally joined, and so on. Well, we'll look more at this in our next reflection, so thank you very much for listening. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for us. St. Gastrus Bethoni, pray for us all. Thank you for listening. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.